Send Christian greetings to each one. Just my mention on your programs, it'll tell you that I'm having a message today and having one again on Friday. I think it was Monday. I was talking with Brother Earl Horst, and he wondered if I'm ready for the week. And I said, no, I'm not. Yeah. But I said, I'll be fine. We'll work at it this week. But he suggested that if I did want off on one message, as Brother Dave Brenneman would have a message that he would feel would be appropriate to preach here. So I will preach today, and Brother Dave is filling my slot on Friday. Thank you, Brother Dave. Our week has, last number of months have been fairly hectic. My mother-in-law, who was 97, lived next door to us, passed away some 10, 12 weeks ago. And so we had the responsibility of clearing everything out and dealing with her things since she passed on, and family say on such. My father passed away 2 weeks ago at the funeral, and I had a week of Bible school in Bern, fit in there somewhere, hurry back home to a funeral in our congregation. So we've been a little bit tired, but God is good. We're not those that draw back to perdition, but we're of those that press on to the saving of our souls. If there is one sentence that I want pronounced when I pass from this world to eternity, it's this sentence. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want to hear that. I thought of Elisha. You know, if history would have stopped with him under the juniper tree, that'd be pretty discouraging. I'm one of those that need to look at these men of faith and see how they went through their difficult times, tough times, and came out on the other side. I need that. So I want to hear that. It's so important to me to hear that, that I'm going to do everything, and it will be the filter through which every thought and action will be screened. It is the one sentence that will cause me not just to start well, not just to run well, but to finish well. The next thing to that, something that I'm coveting, and that will be that fight till my dying breath. Paul said it this way, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. At Bern Bible School, one time after my session, I was talking with a number of young men. And a young man walked up to me, a young man that I knew, a young man whose parents have fought a serious fight to get out of the evangelical world and to come into the Anabaptist world. Fought long and hard. This young man is with one of our churches today, and his parents are back in the evangelical world. And he came to me in our conversation as Leonard. Where are the men of faith who are willing to stand the test and stand it to the end? And I had to lament to him the fact that for this young man, there's a number of spiritual giants that washed out. A number of spiritual giants that washed out. I looked at this young man. I said, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't wash out. Hang in. There's a blessing in it. But it did make me sad to think that some of our young men had been looking up to what we should have considered spiritual models that have washed out. And I guess my message today is to us all. Are we going to be faithful to the end? Sunday, we had a visitor speaker. We had Pablo Yoder from Wasilla. And the only reason we had him is because of Timo Miller's in our congregation. And I asked what he's in the area for. And he said he's in the area to rewrite a book. Oh, I said, interesting. What for a book is being rewritten? I think most of you would recognize the book, But Not in Despair, which is written about Elmer Peachey. So I think most of you probably know Harvey Yoder wrote quite a few books, books that we read, appreciate. But I think probably most of us know that he washed out. He washed out. So Christian Aid Ministries is not willing to continue to sell his books. So I asked Pablo if we would consider rewriting, But Not in Despair, so that they could again continue to sell the the story. So he came to interview, do an interview with Elmer. But Pablo said, well, I asked him where Harvey is today. And he said, well, Harvey just started a ministry. And it's a ministry to the gay people to let them know that God loves them just the way. Horrible. How can it ever come to? There goes so many of our spiritual giants. And if I say nothing more today, maybe it's a little bit like I met a brother yesterday who I know very well. And, you know, he's a little older, and I remember him from 30 years ago, 25 years ago. And I watched him down through the years, and he's still solidly planted in the faith today. We need those kind of testimony. We need them. There are too few men who start well, run well, and finish well. Many of us sitting here are in our 40s and 50s. And I tell you, we got to get this one right, or we will let the next generation in a flurry. And so my title today is Start Well, Run Well, Finish Well. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 12. This is right after the whole catalog that is given of the men and women of faith. And the encouragement in chapter 12 is simply, you've got all these people to look up to. Don't you wash out. The Hebrew Christians were facing persecution. There's plenty of other things that would cause a person to wash out. But this specific problem here was persecution. Don't wash out. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who were those great cloud of witnesses? Just cataloged there in chapter 11. Those who suffered and died are gathered around us like a cloud, just like the crowded amphitheaters in the old Olympian Games. So we have Hebrew writer was saying, look, this is like the Olympian Games. You have all those bleachers set all around. You're down there in the arena, but you have all these men and women of faith in the stage around. The grandstands are full of the saints of old, as we read of these men and women. It's like they're standing in the grandstands, waving us on. Keep it up. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't wash out. These were the saints of the first 4,000 years who are going to be the saints of the next 2,000 years. The list must continue down through the ages. We need men and women who have been an encouragement to us, men and women who have run well, and they finished well. I've been communicating with a couple in another state from a church denomination where there's some false doctrine. And their son, a number of their children have stepped out of that church. This son would like to step out. Back when he was 17, he already wanted to step out. And in communicating with him, I said, you're 17. No, stay home. Plant yourselves under your parents' authority. And God will find a way for you today. He's 23 years old and is making the choice, talking with the parents. The parents shared with me their concern that so often people leave for these reasons that they say. But they're questioning, how does it happen that they end up making a big circle and coming back? And they told me specifically of a family who left their church. And if I said the name has been pretty popular. You would know the name of a couple who was very influential in starting a group and having a church group, Anabaptist church group that some of us interact with some with. This family is now in another state, and they're in an evangelical church that believes in divorce and remarriage is okay under certain circumstances and a whole host of other things. And their plea was to me, I don't want my son to only leave to end up coming back to another church that isn't ours and yet has false doctrine. And I said, yes, there's way too many that have washed out. Way too many that have washed out. Men and women of God who were the spiritual giants of the day, some of whom young men and women looked up to and patterned their life after, only to watch them wash out. I've seen where We're talking about, Brother Wilmer's talking about us as parents. Another dilemma that I've seen is where parents have, I think, tried so hard to raise their children right, and for whatever reason, it had not turned out the way they would have hoped, and their children have took a different direction. That's sad. But what I think is even sadder is that eventually the parents pull up stakes and just follow their children and make the changes. I think that's really sad. As much as if our children don't follow through, that is sad. Generational family pictures tell us quite a story. Grandparents, simple, godly life. The coming generations, children and grandchildren. More and more you see that procession out into the world. And so we have young parents coming to us and saying, can I even do it? Is it possible to do? Well, I'm here to tell you that you're going to have to look at the few who've raised their children and have done it, and not look at the multitudes that weren't able to do it. I really know that it is possible. So we're here in Hebrews. Hebrew writer was concerned that the Hebrew Christians would throw in the towel from the pressure of facing persecution. We're not facing the kind of persecution they were facing, but we're facing our own set of persecution. And it's the world, and it's Protestantism, those kind of things. Men got to get it right. The next generation is looking to us. We got to get it. I like what it says in Galatians 2:9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seem to be pillars. I like that. We need men and women who are pillars. They hold to the truth. They stand and hold up the truth. And they don't move. They stay. They stand. So you might be sitting here and you might say, well, we don't have a lot of good examples. I would like to spend a little bit of time to have you follow me through an example in the Old Testament that I think is simply outstanding. Someone who in their generation stood alone and did a good job. That is Jonadab. And in Jeremiah chapter 35 and the last verse, I'm going to begin with the last verse because I would give anything. I would pay a hefty price to get this kind of a blessing spoken of me. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Simply saying that throughout the coming generations, there's always going to be faithful men. I give a hefty price. I would give about anything for them. But I think it's pretty important that we see a little bit of the battles that Jonadab probably fought. Let's just do a real short Bible study. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles 2, verse 55, because what was so meaningful here for me is to see who this man was and to follow his life the little bit we can follow it. And I'm hoping that, you know, I didn't get some wires crossed here. But I will give you what I have found, which has been a real encouragement to me. And 1 Chronicles 2:55, we have here genealogies, and it says in 55, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Tirathites, the Shimeathites, and the Succothites, these are the Kenites that came of Hemath, the father of the house of Rechab. So here I think we can find out that Jonadab, the son of Rechab, was from the Kenites, and if we go over to Judges 1:16, we find out where the Kenites came from. Judges 1:16, it says, and the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people. So here we see the Kenites were descendants of Moses' father-in-law. So this was not a part, the Kenites were not a part of the Jewish nation. But one of the things we notice here, though they were not a part of the Jewish nation, we can kind of follow them and catalog them and notice that they did kind of sit themselves in a place where they were connected. to the children of Israel. At the time when Saul was going to kill the Amalekites, he sent a message to the Kenites and said, you better get and move yourself, lest you get entangled in this war. Get up and move away. So they had been in the area. From what I understand from history, the Kenites were nomadic. They were animal herders, and they separated themselves from the general society. Now, from what I can tell of history, that as time went on, the Kenites pretty much assimilated back into normal society. But apparently, there was one man that stood possibly alone. And he said, for me and my family, this is what we're going to do. Now, he wasn't of the children of Israel. He wasn't of Judah. He was a Kenite. He was from Moses' father-in-law. And there was a number of things that he asked of his children. Well, before I get there, we get a little bit of glimpse of this man, that he must have been an exceptional man and was very apparently passionate. If we read about Jehu was on his way to fulfill the responsibility that he had, and he was in his chariot, and he was driving furiously, and he stopped and he picked up Jonadab. One zealous man picked up another zealous man and said, see my zeal for the Lord. So this Jonadab must have been quite a zealous man, but he was willing to stand alone. So we have him asking of his children a number of things. They were supposed to not drink. It was a total abstinence from wine. They were supposed to live in tents. There was no planting seeds or vineyards. In other words, it almost seems like Jonadab saw danger in becoming too settled down in this world. They continued their nomadic lifestyle. And in that nomadic lifestyle, they were very careful how much they rooted in. Now, I don't know if we're told, we're really not told what the motive was behind it. And so we can only assume that possibly Jonadab, who was a very zealous man, when it seems like most of his people had assimilated back into the normal culture, that this man stood alone and he continued the nomadic lifestyle. And he required some things of his children. If we go to Jeremiah 35, we're going to take time to read it. But if we go there, we would find out that his sons kept that very well. Now, when they were told to go into the temple and drink wine, if you read through that, you would find out that they actually, because of the danger of the time, that they moved into Jerusalem for safety. And so I thought that was interesting, that under certain circumstances, they did what they needed to do to preserve life. But they continued this nomadic lifestyle, and they stood firm. Even a prophet told them, drink wine. And they said, listen, our fathers told us, my father told us not to drink wine. We're not going to drink wine. And then to have this hefty blessing in Jeremiah 35, verse 19, I will give any price for it. Some of us struggle with the New Testament principle. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will be to you a father. Ye shall be my sons and daughters. Many would have scoffed, I am sure, scoffed at their simple lifestyle. You mean this is the way you live? You mean your father told you not to drink any wine? You can't go out there and plant a permanent vineyard or gardens? You mean you're going to follow your dad? This is so out of culture. And yet they were willing to do it. Many would have rebelled at their father's position and called his old-fashioned ideas as out of date and out of touch. But I would give a hefty price to have. There would always be faithful men and women, my followers. So this is the man who had an apparent vision, a zealous man, a man who started well, seemingly ran well, and by all appearances ended well. And the question is for you and me today, are we going to start well, run well, and finish well in spite of those around us? In 2022, we need men who know what they believe, are willing to stand for the truth and not compromise, men whose integrity is uncompromised, men who are not carried about with every wind and doctrine, men who are blameless, men who are pillars. It's a little the song that goes, I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. Are you going to put your lot in with the people of God and be faithful to the end so that the coming generations can watch your life and say, it's possible, we can do it? Let us consider some practical thoughts as we, where are we? Daniel chapter 11, I think. Daniel chapter 11, trying to find that verse. Maybe someone knows where it is. They shall do exploits. Those that know their God shall do exploits. Yeah, verse 32. It says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And I think the thing here that really should catch our attention is the fact that the ones who are going to be strong and do exploits, they're the ones who know their God. Now, I believe that this last clause was marvelously realized in Judas Maccabees and his brethren. But it represents the perennial source of strength for all who suffer and are willing to serve. We are encouraged by them. In verse 35, it says, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, to purge, to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for the time, a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. And so if you could have looked forward to the time that this prophecy was, and I believe it could have dual prophecy of not only Judas of Maccabees, but also of our time, that God has the time in his hands, and we will end up going through tough times, but he has an appointment made and an end for that, and that we need to hold faithful through to the end, to know him. The apostles cry in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come, hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. If you're going to start well, run well, and finish well, it will be only because you know him. Those that know him, they will be strong and they will do exploits. We're not of those who draw back to perdition, but we're those that believe to the saving of the soul. We ask the question again, where are the men who start well, run well, and finish well? I think it is so important, absolutely important, that we faithfully read our Bibles, spend time in prayer. But it's not good enough. We need to know our God. Do you know him? Do you know him? It's not enough to go to church every Sunday, being involved in church work, evangelism, other spiritual activity, even though it's so important. Everyone should be involved and know him. You have to know him. It's very important to live a simple, modest, practical lifestyle. Should be a part of every Christian. But all of these things can be done and we can still lack the power of God. Do we know him? Do you know him? So, help me out. If we are those who really know our God, why is it that year after year after we struggle with the same? There are men and there are women who have had issues in their life and they've never been able to sort through them. It follows them everywhere. If we're going to be the ones that start well, we run well, and we finish well. We need to know our God. And if we know our God, it only seems likely that we could sort through our issues and come on the other side of them. Where is the power of God? Where is the endurance? Where is the overcoming power? There are those who finally cave in and wash out. There's a young man a number of years ago who was dealing with sexual sins. And he fought. And he fought, any fault. And I don't know if his standard was too high. I just can't believe it could have been. But eventually he just washed out, threw in the towel, and he went and just simply lived an ungodly life. Today, he's living an ungodly life. He married an ungodly woman. They're raising an ungodly family. Just simply washed out. But you know, can I blame the young man? Because there are those of us who may say, well, that's not our issue. But we have issues in our life that follow us and plague us. And we just don't overcome. And if we don't wash out, somebody else might wash out because of it. It seems to me that those that know their God, they're the ones that are going to be strong and do exploits. And it seems to me there's the grace of God to find our way through, sort through our issues. I think sometimes the ungodly actually do a better job in this area than we do. That's really shameful. I recently read about Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin had issues in his life. He called them weaknesses. And Benjamin Franklin decided he's going to overcome his weaknesses. Now, Benjamin Franklin was not a Christian. If you read about his dying testimony of what he thought of the divinity of Jesus, he didn't even believe it. He thought it's a waste of time to even consider that. Now, if somebody wanted to believe that, and they actually pursued that, he said it's okay as long as it does something good for them. So he wasn't a Christian. He decided he's going to name his issues. Some of us don't even take the time to consider. Now, why did Benjamin Franklin do it? I don't know. Did he want it to better his life? I suppose. But you know, even if it doesn't just better our life, we should be really serious about the issues in our life and deal with them. Because if it's not for our own sake, it's for those around us. So Benjamin Franklin, he named his weaknesses. He came up with 13 of them. Probably didn't do a very thorough job because I think I come up with quite a few more than that, 13 of them. And he worked at them. And the way he did it is he worked at two at a time. He'd pick out two and he'd work on them until he overcome them. And then he'd work on the next two. What I thought it was so interesting is that in the end, it showed he didn't have the power of God. Because he said he overcame them all except one of them. One he couldn't overcome. And that was orderliness. Never could overcome it. And that's where the power of God shines. God can help us. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. It's possible. If we can stay on that journey of saying, God, I want to be like you. I want to have my focus on you. I want to live for you. I want to rid myself of all these issues in my life that clog up my ability to live out your beautiful testimony. Are we willing to sort through our issues? 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Apostle Peter saying, be careful. Be careful. You know these things. Beware lest you be led away with the error of the wicked and you fall from your own steadfastness. But he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Must we be the same person tomorrow that we are today? I think the grace of God is bigger than all of that. And you know, those around us, the closest to us, they're the ones that see our issues. They see them. Are you going to be a man of God who is going to know his God, who's going to be strong, and is going to be do exploits? He's willing to start well, run well, and finish well. You're going to have to know your God. Do we really need to continue to struggle with the same thing at the same level, just the way we did it the year? Is God no bigger than that? We heard about from Brother Wilmer about an angry father. There are fathers in our churches who are angry. And if we would be really honest, anger is not just explosions. It's irritation. It's the silent treatment. It's a lot of other ways expressed. And it's damaging our home. Your teenagers are coming to your ministers and complaining that this has been going on for a long time. Where's the power of God to overcome these kind of situations? There are husbands and wives who have been married for 30 and 40 years, and they still have not learned to sort through their issues. It is completely, absolutely essential. If you're here today as a husband, if you're here today as a husband, that you get to know God and learn to sort through your issues. I'm not one of those that's going to stand up here and say that we don't have issues. My wife and I have issues, but we learn to sort through them. Learn to sort through them. We work long and hard, long and hard. Wasn't a pretty marriage at first. It wasn't. But there was something within us that said, we're going to fight for this one until we get it, and we're not going to get it. And so I haven't understood that there could be people, there could be men and women who have been married 30 and 40 years, have been in the church, have been sitting under teaching, and yet they've never learned to sort through their issues. Either eventually we're going to wash out. If we don't wash out, the next generation might wash out. It is absolutely pertinent that we get really serious about these kind of things. God can make beauty out of ashes. Another area that we really, really have to get right. And that's this whole thought of our sexuality. As we got to get that one. Be pure thought and in action. We got to get it right. My wife just asked me the other day, and I can understand where she's coming from. She said, if we married men cannot find victory in our sexuality, how in the world can we expect our young men to live a pure life? Men, you're married. She said, men, you're married. How in the world could we expect our young men who are single? They need an example. It's what they need. Men are washing out all the time because of this situation. And I think it's because we don't deal with it at the root, and we don't apparently know our God. 1 Corinthians 9, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Temperate in all things. Temperance. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, one of my prayers quite a good while ago was, and it continues to be my prayer, is God, give me a hatred for everything when it comes to sexuality that isn't completely pure. Give me a hatred. We're going to have to give a different message to our world. Our world believes that once a sex offender, always a sex offender. And they relate that way. I'm very close to and involve myself quite a bit with Brother Aaron Lathan, who is in Houtsdale Prison, because as an ex-sex offender. Because of his crime, he got 20 years, 10 to 20 years, with 10 years probation and 15 years surveillance. So if nothing is shortened, he'll be 85 years old till the state finally doesn't need to look over his shoulder. So he's up for parole. He was up a year or two ago, and they denied it. He's coming up soon again, which it looks like he'll probably get it. He has enrolled in the Stepping Stones program, and that is in the area there by I think it's a Mennonite church that oversees it. And I was talking to the brother that is in the Stepping Stone program. Actually, he's involved in helping give direction to the Stepping Stone program. They got a new parole officer who's coming in there now. And this parole officer has zero tolerance for Christianity, zero tolerance for church. And he'll do anything and everything he can to make life really hard. So he walked into this parole officer just the other day walked into the Stepping Stones program and found one of the mentors with one of the ex-convicts listening on the phone to a live children's program. And as soon as the parole officer heard they're listening to a live children's program, he said, this can't be, and put handcuffs on the man, was going to cart him off to prison just like that. They're not supposed to have any connection with children. They don't believe that there can be freedom from this sin. And I wonder sometimes if they took a poll, if the world took a poll of the men of God, I wonder if they would come up with a different conclusion or not. That's what I want. So these men in the Stepping Stones program, because of this man, for the last 4 or 5 Sundays, they have not went to church. Because if they get caught with any kind of what the parole officer figures is a violation, they will go right back to prison. They don't want to go to prison. So they're sitting at home. They're sitting at the Stepping Stone program. They don't go to church. So they're not sure what they're going to do. They're praying for this parole officer. The last time he came, I might have my sequence wrong, but the last time he came, which was just a couple days ago, there was something different about him. And this gentleman was so excited that God is answering their prayers and the man's heart is softening. We got to get this one right, man. We got to fight this battle, and we got to fight this battle until we overcome. And there's many a man who have overcome. It can be done. Are you going to be one of those who are willing to fight for your life, for purity? 2 Peter chapter 1, as we consider growing in grace. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 to 11. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We have that word knowledge, those that know their God. They're the ones that are going to be strong. They're going to do the exploits. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And how is that? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence. Men, sorting through the issues in our life, it's not going to happen without diligence. We got to fight for this one, for these issues in our life with everything we got. Men and women around us are washing out. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What I see here is if we are not continually growing, making steps, no matter how small they are. And sometimes, if you're like me, you feel like you took one step forward and two backward. But we're not going to give up. But if these things are not happening, if there's not a growing in grace, there's possibly two things that happen. One is we've forgotten that we've been purged from our old sins. You know, lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. We could just kneel down at the cross, find the power of the resurrection. So those that lack these things, they become blind. They become blind. And they forget they were purged from their old sins. You wonder how someone could just wash out and end up where they are. I'm concerned that it happens because we stop diligently seeking God to overcome the issues in our life and to grow in grace. A ship on the river will not stand still. It's going to either be diligently, passionately moving forward. If it stops, it's going backwards. If we stop fighting, we're going to go backward. Don't, men, don't just live with the issues. Fight. Pray hard. Seek God. Meditate on his word. Pray and fast till God comes through and meets your need. Where are the giants today? Where are the men? Some of us who've been a part of charity for how many years? We know some of the spiritual giants that used to preach in our pulpits. Where are they today? They washed out. Are we going to be of those who stand firm to the end as pillars? Well, God is big enough, his power is great enough that we can start well, we can run well, we can finish well. Here in 2 Peter and verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. How many times is diligence in these verses? At least a couple of times. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. What a promise. You'll never fall. But you're going to have to grow in grace. These things are going to have to continue to be multiplied. I'm very concerned and fearful for you who've been sitting with your issues and you have been gaining no ground. Those are the kind of people that wash out. They're the ones who eventually throw in the towel. They're the ones who finally say, it isn't worth it. And they take the easy road, follow the easy street. But God is big enough, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What a powerful verse. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Young man, if you're sitting here, don't get disillusioned. Don't get disillusioned. You may be able to point out how many men who washed out. Don't get disillusioned. The grace of God is able to take us through. You can make it. You will make it if you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Could we make a commitment, not only in our own lives, but as brothers together, that we're going to work through, if we have issues in our life that we've not overcome, we're going to work through those issues, going to make a difference, make a commitment to each other to help each other. So my title, start well, run well, finish well. Will you join on that race? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and we acknowledge that we are in so much need of the grace of God. We're in so much need of the power of God. It's those that know you that will be strong and that will do exploits. Would you please, Father, be merciful to us. Help us to sort through our issues, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of us, Father, all of us have issues. Some of us have learned and are learning to sort through them. But if there's anyone here that seems that they just are not able to overcome those weaknesses, those sins, as it says there in Hebrews chapter 12, laying aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. Father, if there's some man here with weights and sin in his life that he's not able to overcome, Father, I pray that as he diligently seeks your face, that you would give the grace, lest in the end they would wash out. Have mercy on us, Lord. Give us a strength in the inner. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Give us the grace, Father, to be open and honest with our issues, whether it's just the sin and weights and weaknesses that we have in our own personal life, whether it's the issues that we have that we can't sort through in our marriages, whether it's the issues in our homes with our children that we don't have answers for. Father, I pray that as we can be totally open and honest with each other, that you would give a surge of grace and power, that we could start well, we could run well, and we could end well. Have mercy, Father, on the many today that we can think of who've simply washed out. And we know the verse that he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. We throw no stones. We throw no stones. Just help us, Lord, that we do not throw in the towel. There is no temptation taken than such as common with man. He is faithful with the temptation, he will make a way of escape. You may be. Thank you, Father. Just give us the encouragement to face our issues, sort through our issues, and run well, that we can end well. And as the Apostle Paul said, I've ready to be offered up. I've finished my course. Thank you. Fought a good fight. there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. May we hear those words. Come in, ye blessed. Inherit the kingdoms that have been prepared from the foundations of, we pray in Jesus' name.